It is good to be here celebrating this resurrection with you this morning. One of the things that we at Pine Lake, as we find and follow Jesus together, one of the things that we are really intentional about is our own discipleship as followers of Jesus, that we believe our discipleship happens in a process, in a rhythm of three ways: of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. We believe that this holistic view of following Jesus is what makes us as disciples act, live, and move and breathe in the same way that Jesus did. Because we know that Jesus so loved us that we live out of that love. And one of the things that as I was preparing for this Easter and talking about the love that God has for us, sometimes that love, as human beings, we mirror between sometimes our parents. And I don't know about you and your house, but there was a place in our house where there was, like, you don't play in this zone. Like, you don't play. Like, it had my dad's really, like, antique books, and they also had then all my mom's collectibles. And one of these things is when, you know, kids, we don't listen very well. And so we were playing tag or something like that, and I, in pursuit of getting away from one of my siblings, I ran into the bookshelf that housed this antique plate. And in slow motion, you only experience a few times, like, you're lunging out to save it, but it breaks right in front of you. But then there's something like that happens with parents, especially with mothers. Like, they know the sounds and they can distinct. They heard the thump when they heard the crash, and they knew it wasn't just any sort of crash. It was something of value. And so my mom comes running in, and she is looking not at me, but at the plate, and it is broken. And in that moment, I am so nervous. I am so fearful. I want to run. I want to get out there. I do not know what's going to happen next. But the next thing that happens, my mom, as a Southern woman, grabs my arm with one hand, and I don't know what's coming next. I don't know if the hand's coming by. But then my mom said something that has changed my life and changed our family lives. She said, "I love you more than my thing." And I think about that. The plate is still broken in front of her. And she has the ability, because of her love, not because it's self-contained, not because she learned it from herself, but she reflected this love that God has for us. And so this morning, as we talk about Easter, we don't want to just talk about what Jesus did, because Jesus both lived the life that we should have lived, he died the death that we deserved, and he was raised to life to bring us hope and a future and life. And what you need to know is why that happened and why he did what he did. Because God so loved you that there is nothing that he wouldn't do to reach you. And so this morning we are going to look at one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture as we understand the why behind the what. And so if you'll turn with me to the screens, and we will read this text. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Will you join me as we pray this morning? Holy Spirit, we come awaiting you. We want more of you. We want clarity. We want understanding. We want to know more. We want to receive more. So Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see you? Holy Spirit, would you give us ears to hear the good news of the gospel? Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to receive the love that we so long for? And would you open our minds to understand the depths and the width of your love? We ask this in your name. Amen. Now, God so loved you that sometimes that love stays hidden, but not God's love. God's love did not stay hidden. And I knew that as a fact, that we often go through life understanding that people love us, but sometimes that love is not expressed as often as we would like it to. Like, that plate of my mom's was not just any plate. This was an antique plate that my father had been searching for years upon years, because it was created to reflect the year in which they were married. And then thus he was going to give it to them, to her, on their anniversary. And so this plate became something much more than just a plate that my father bought. It became something that was a precious gift that was given and was to be received. And this is the same thing that we hear in the scriptures, that God so loved. But that love is also very personal, very intentional, and very costly. That God's love for you, that he so loved you, that it was personal, that it wasn't just another piece of the law. It wasn't another clarification of the way that they're supposed to be. This was his only son. It was also very intentional. He didn't give without in unintentional ways, but intentional. This is for the salvation of the world, that realizing that his people could not live in a way that justified a right relationship. And thus, he sent his son for salvation of the world. But it was also costly, because Jesus wouldn't just come and appear and show the full divinity and glory that was due him as the king. It would cost his life. This is what we see of God who so loved, and Jesus who so loved. In John 13, as Jesus was finishing his ministry, was sitting down with his best friends, his disciples, John took note of this moment, of how well Jesus loved. That Jesus so loved them. He loved his own who were in the world, that he loved them to the end. That means not only to the end of his life where we talk about the crucifixion, but to the end of into the tomb, into the resurrection, and into the age to come. That for Jesus, that he so loved the world that it was very personal. It was also intentional in the same way it was with his father. And it was very costly. That it was personal, that this is his life. This was a choice that we see Jesus agonize. Is there another way? That for many of us, our self-preservation would cause us to say, I will protect myself. But he chose to lay his life down for you. It was also very intentional that while it said in scripture that he loved his own, it wasn't just for the followers who gave their life in those years, but it was for the whole world. All that would come, it was salvation for the world, not just a few. But it is also costly, because his death wasn't just a normal death. It was one of humiliation, shame, one made for the worst of the worst. It would be a death that was meant to punish, to wipe out, to snuff out this movement of Jesus. And sometimes when we are able to, through this Holy Week, get a good picture of the death and resurrection, as we look at the wholeness, we see the love, but sometimes we get hung up by our own mess. We see the love from friends and family around us, but we get so much hung up upon our mess. And when we do, our mistakes cause us to mistake his love. It was like that moment when I felt the full weight of the plate breaking. That in that moment between my mom grabbing my hand and my mom saying the words of reassurance, I had 100 conversations in my head that was defining who I was and the love that I was allowed to receive. I was like, I am the worst. I am the least loved sibling now. I am the lowest on the rank. I'm below the dog. I should just run away and provide freedom from a child who is such a disappointment, who doesn't know how to listen, who doesn't know how to obey. All these things come and through my heart in that hesitation, in that moment between my hand being grabbed and my mom saying it, the hesitation, these 100 words, 100 phrases came into my head. And so I wonder for you, in the ways that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory and the expectation of God, what conclusions have you made about yourself when it comes to receiving the love from the Father and love from the Son and love from the Spirit? What conclusions have you made that have caused you to feel like you are the worst, most unfit for love? But I want to tell you something, that while my mother hesitated naturally, not from any ill will, but because we're human. We know that the moment between sin and our mistakes and the love that we want to share with a person who has let us down, that there is a hesitation. But I want you to know right now, the gap between your sin and God's love, there is no hesitation. The moment you sin is the moment that his love and grace arise. This is what is beautiful. This is what it means when it says God so loved that he loved in the midst of your sin and his love. There is no gap. There is no moment where God said, I so love, but should I really send my son? And Jesus, looking at his disciples in all the ways that they had messed up, he goes, oh, should I really die for them? Or should I find another way? But God so loved. And this is how we know. I know that God's love meets us. Because in scripture it reminds us, as Paul, who is understanding the fullness of what it means to be a son and daughter of the Most High God, he relates to the followers in Ephesus. For we, you and I, are God's masterpiece. That he created us anew in and through Christ Jesus. You are God's masterpiece. You are the apple of your eye. You are the best thing that he has created. Look at Mount Rainier. Look at the heavens and look at the earth. And there is nothing like you. You are a once-in-a-lifetime creation reflecting the image of the invisible God. There is none better than you. And even when your sin causes us to fall short, his love moves. Because sin wants to work that way. Sin wants to understand that you are messed up, that you are broken, and then thus you are excluded. Whatever you believe excludes you from God's love, I don't know what that is, but you do. And for some of it might be just your sin, that you are in this myriad of place of sin, or you're broken. I don't know if it's your cheating, your unfaithfulness, your anger, your lust, your hate, your indifference, your idolatry, your addictions, your pride, your lying, your guilt, your shame, whatever it is. Put it at the throne of the Father. Put it at the foot of the cross, and Jesus will look at you and say, welcome, my son and daughter. I so love you. Your place in this family is not shaky, but is on solid ground. I so love you. I so love you. That whatever you think excludes you, whatever thinks you have to run and hide and go get right before you come back, let me tell you one thing. Just come home. Come to the Father, because he so loves you. And so the question is, what do you do with a love that isn't hidden, that is expressed, and one that doesn't exclude you? Because as humans, we often are enamored with the words that people say that I love you, but is not often backed up with action. That we often have a saying in humanity that actions speak louder than words. And this is not something that Jesus wasn't aware of. He didn't just say it. He showed it. That Jesus so loved you that he stretched his arms as wide as they could go, pulled, almost detached from his ligaments, and had nails driven through his hands for you. He so loves you. That Jesus so loved you that he was stripped naked of the shame and the humiliation it was to be considered the worst of the worst, to hang on a cross. It was to humiliate you and to bring shame, to disgrace you. And he did it for you. He hung up on that cross. He suffered. He gasped. He endured the pain of every moment as he looked down at those not only who had gathered to watch him die, but who anguished amongst his pain. And he did it for you. It's not that sin and brokenness did not matter to Jesus. It did. It shows that God so loved you that his love went beyond your sin, your shame, your humiliation, your brokenness to remind you that there is no gap. There's no place. There's no thing you can't do that God's love will not reach you. And this is what Paul I'm speaking to the Romans, fully understand. I wanted them to understand, and I want you to understand. Paul said to the Romans, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love, from a God who so loves you, that nothing will separate you from a God who loves you, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means there's no trouble and no hardship. That means no danger or death as it comes sooner or later for you. That's not the present and whatever circumstances surround you right now, and there is nothing in the future that God's love will not exist in. Nor is there any power ever that has been, that is, or ever will be, that will be more powerful than a love that enters time and space, that was before all of creation and will be at the end of all time for you. And here's the truth that I want us to wrestle with. What would it be like if in that moment I'm standing by a broken plate, hearing the reassurance love of my mother? What would happen if I received it and heard it and walked away unchanged? My friends, I don't want us to be people that just orbit a God that so loves you. I don't want us to be people who just orbit a Jesus who so loved you. Because for us, orbiting around a God and Jesus means to know about his death and his resurrection, but to not to know it. To orbit it means that we attend time and time again services and moments and vigils where we are interacting with the divine and yet are not changed and transformed by the grace that we receive. We orbit it when we pray, when we're in a moment of weakness and desperation and need. We orbit it when we want the benefits of God's love, but without the nearness. That we want to orbit admiring this love without fully trusting in its love. That we want to orbit around this idea that we must earn it, when actuality you're supposed to just... There's too often that we orbit this Jesus and his God who loves because we're so curious about how a God could send his son and how the son could give up his life for us so that we might have a reunification to the God who loved us and who made us. And yet, we don't want to come close, because if we come close, we might have to let go of some things that have been with us for a long time. God so loved you that he doesn't want you to be in proximity to him, but he wants to abide in you. There is a difference between being so close that you can feel it, that you can benefit from being in its vicinity. And there's a difference that no matter where you go, that the time and space, the space and place doesn't determine how loved you are. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news that we understand not just what he did, but why he did it. That God so loved you that he sent his son, and that Jesus so loved you that he died so that not only that you could have life now, but you could understand that life in him is better than you dare dream or imagine. And what you see around and what you experience now is just pales in comparison to the fullness of love that you have yet to receive or that you will receive in the end. This is how, when people say, how in the midst of all that is going on, in the midst of a life of brokenness, how do you still believe? How do you still live? Because I believe in a God who so loved me and a Jesus that so loved me that what I experience in and through him and him abiding in me, oh, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface. I haven't begun to experience the fullness. And so when we await the goodness of the return of Jesus, who so loved us, I will again enter a threshold of a love I had no idea existed. This is the goodness of the resurrection. This is the word that we so desperately need. A love that transforms us today, tomorrow, and forever. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Holy Spirit, you promised to be sent to be among us, to be our comforter, to be our guide. And so right now, Spirit, you are speaking. Your word never returns void. So Spirit, speak. Speak to us who have been orbiting and haven't received. What word do you have for us this morning? What brokenness are you asking us to put aside? To once again be transformed by the true love of Jesus Christ. And Spirit, who among us is hearing your prompting for the first time? Our curiosity has brought us here. And who want to come home, who want to receive this love. And they're wondering how. God, that you sent your Son to say, come and follow me. Taste and see that I am good. That we recognize our brokenness and say, Lord, I'm broken. There's nothing that I could do to live correctly, to live up to your standards. But I believe and I put my full hope and trust in your Son's love, his death, and his resurrection. I surrender myself to your will and to your way. Ready to receive the love that you have for me. So Spirit, you are not confined to this moment, to this time or space. You are speaking when we woke up. You're speaking now and you will continue to speak. Do you open our ears to hear this morning the word of love that you have for us? We ask this in your name. Amen.